Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad that you joined us today. I have quite a few things to talk about today, but first and foremost, of course, I have Shelley and I have Monica here with me today, but I also have a special guest, Hiawatha Cromer. Hiawatha's been on our show before. She lives up in Michigan, and she has had kind of a lifelong journey in the field of looking out for others and lifestyle and things to keep you in a better place, both health-wise and even soul-wise and survival. Wise. She's always got something going on, and it's her her endeavor to help others that, of course, makes her special to me, because I believe that the more we do of the of those kind of things, make our world a better place. Finding fault in everyone and passing judgment on everyone is not a way to get balance and create any kind of harmony. So she's first on my dashboard, so let me bring her in, and then I'll bring in Shelley and Monica. Good morning, Hiawatha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. I always say blessed and highly favored.
Well, good for you, honey. Good for you. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm gonna bring in Monica. She's next on the dashboard. Good morning, Monica. Say hello to Hiawatha.
Good morning, Renee. Good morning, Hiawatha. How are you?
Good morning, Monica.
And here's Shell. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh, that was easy.
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So Hiawatha and I spoke earlier this week, and she's got a lot of stuff going on, but one of the things that she mentioned to me is that she would like to share her story about fasting and also staying on a program that helps you, you know, control your first of all, your weight and your health, but also your lifestyle, and be in charge of it instead of it being in charge of you. So I'm going to open the floor to her, let her talk a little bit, and then she can give us a chance to ask her some questions. Are you good with Hiawatha?
Yes, I am. Okay, shall I start now? Okay, for years I have been interested in what I eat. In fact, I went to Creative Health Institute in 1986 for the first time, and that's when I was introduced to eating raw foods, and I had always had problems controlling my weight. I was always yo-yoing. You know, I would lose a lot of weight, I would go back to eating the same stuff, expecting different results, and the weight would return. So I went to Creative Health Institute, started eating raw, and I was able to maintain my weight by counting to the eating raw. But, you know, it's very difficult to eat raw in our society, because rarely do our friends eat raw. So whenever I would have to visit someone else, I would always have to take my food. And after a while, I got tired of taking my food. So I would say, oh, well, maybe if I eat one day, I cooked, it won't make any difference. But one day here and there, cooked, it did make a difference over time. So just recently, during the past year, I had been hearing about intermittent fasting. And at first, I didn't quite understand it, but I listened to a lot of people on YouTube, and finally, I started practicing it. And in order to practice intermittent fasting, you can do it one day, you can do it all the time. And I prefer to do it at least 2 days a week. and in which I eat nothing but raw food, preferably blended, and preferably juice. Blended or juice, completely raw. Then the rest of the time, I will eat during a window.
Wow, I'm here, everybody. Sorry, my phone cut out. Oh, who was speaking?
Hiawatha.
Okay, well, I think everybody else was on but me. Monica and Shelley, you both could hear Hiawatha?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. So just continue, honey. My phone jumped to Wi-Fi. There must be another storm building up outside. This has been happening to me all week this week. Go ahead, honey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the call is very staticky, by the way. So I'm hearing Hiawatha, but the call
no
is very
weather.
Staticky.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Are good in that you're in a place. Yeah. Let's try one more time. You're all on my dashboard, so you're all in the network. I just can't hear everybody. Go ahead, Hiawatha.
All right. Okay, thank you. As I was saying, I began fasting with the window of 6 to 8 hours during the day of eating, and the rest of the time I'm fasting. And my approach to fasting is a little different from everybody else's approach because during that window when I'm fasting, if I really want to eat something, I eat something blended or liquid. I might make almond milk, I might make a banana smoothie, I might make a fruit smoothie. Now, the only thing is, if you make a grain smoothie, you have to be sure that you're going to be up because greens give you energy. So I use the green smoothies up on the rising or during the day when I want energy. And in the evening, I avoid the greens. I might go for especially the banana smoothie because it helps you to sleep. Or I might go for the tart cherry blended with almond milk with some flax to give me a filler to help me to feel full. And so now, should I open it up now for some questions?
Sure. Monica, Shelley, do you have something you'd like to ask?
So far I'm agreeing with everything Hiawatha is saying because using some of the methods she's talking about is how I basically reverse joint damage that I was told by multiple doctors that needed surgery to repair. And when I had gone I was a raw foodist for 2.5 years, doing a lot of what I have. I didn't get it so much into the fasting, but I did do a couple of 3-day fasts. But I've also heard research that people that fast one day a week can actually extend their life, their healthy life, by 10 years at minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that actually my sister and I have been discussing, and that's something we're implementing next month. So starting in August, my sister and I are going to start doing a green drink fast one day a week because it really does allow the immune system to reset. It does a whole lot of good things for you. So I'm glad that she mentioned some of those things.
I would like to mention also that during the research that I've been doing, I found out one woman advocates fasting for 2 days in a row. She said because we actually get new brain cells. Ordinarily, the brain cells die and they don't replace themselves. But if you would fast 2 days a week, then you would actually get new brain cells.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Oh, God knows I could use a few of those. let me ask you something, Hiawatha. What about about if you fast and you get very lightheaded? Now, you and Shelley both spoke about doing green drinks and smoothies and things like that when you're fasting. Now, when you're fasting, a lot of the people I know that fast very strictly fast on water and only water. And some of them do it for anywhere from 7 to 10 days. And then I have other friends who just one day a week don't take in anything but water. Now, at Epocrates and at Creative and Vibrant Health, we would do a fasting day on Wednesday, but it was with green drink and wheatgrass. So now there are many variables. Now let's talk to the person that is suffering an illness. Let's talk to the person that that is maybe maybe came to the realization that they had to build their body up again after they had cancer, done chemotherapy and radiation. How would we direct that person to get their body back in a functioning shape to fight off the poisons from the radiation and chemotherapy? Do you have anything to say to that?
Yeah. Now, number one, I was taught the Ann Wigmore, Living Foods Lifestyle.
Hiawatha, yes. Are you on a cell phone, on a house phone? Are you on a, because we can't really hear you very well, honey.
Well, let me see. I'm on a cell phone, but I can get on a
okay.
house phone.
Why don't you call me back from your house phone and I'll bring you into the dashboard, because I think people are missing some important messages from you because your cell phone is cutting out. Are you girls in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's try that, Hiawatha. Call me back up on another phone and I'll let you into the dashboard.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, she's hung up that phone now. Let me wait for the other phone to call in and we'll try. I guess I'm not the only one with technical difficulties.
Well, we're in Mercury retrograde till August 2nd, so it's just something you got to put up with. I had a few more technical stuff happen yesterday, and I was like, oh my goodness. Thank God nothing is beyond repair, but I'm having more equipment issues this Mercury retrograde than in all the past ones put together in the last 2 years. It just seems like every time I turn around, something is like breaking down.
Yeah, it's been like that here. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hiawatha, let's try this. You're on my dashboard.
Okay, am I coming through clearer?
Oh, yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, I'm sorry I missed. I hope people didn't miss too much of the information. But anyway, I was saying that I was taught the Ann Wigmore Living Foods Lifestyle. And she felt that there were only two reasons for being ill in the first place, and it was toxicity or deficiency. So her thinking was that, what I was trained, is that we are deficient to really go on a water fast unless we have been on a living food lifestyle for a long time and really are no longer deficient. So I recommend that anybody who are just coming off of ordinary American, the fad diet, would not try a water fast unless you go to a water fasting place where you would be monitored by a physician.
Monitored. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it is pretty safe to a liquid nourishment. But at Creative Health Institute, we did it for 3 days. We did liquid nourishment. And during that time, we also did the wheatgrass. Well, you see, some people were so toxic until the wheatgrass, too much chlorophyll would make them sick. And then we would have to cut back on the wheatgrass. We could only give them something they had to only have one half ounce to begin with. So ordinarily, if a person has been eating pretty healthy, then they could go right away on a water fast. But for people who just don't have that diet, I would strongly recommend that you would avoid even doing too much beginning, avoid being nauseated or big-headed and so forth. When people come to my place, I operate a small independent center here. When it comes to my place, I put them on liquid chlorophyll that you can go to the store and buy. You can go to the store and buy this liquid chlorophyll, and I suggest they go by whatever the directions are indicated on that container of liquid chlorophyll, and they would do that first thing in the morning. And I would suggest that they do it at least 2 glasses of it first thing in the morning. And then they would wait 15 minutes after doing that, and then they would have their green smoothie. And the green smoothie would consist of fruit. If we recommend fruit in the morning, because for some reason it will help the, it doesn't aggravate the blood sugar like fruit probably later on in the day. And fruit is easier to digest, and it can go through the system quicker. So we advocate fruit in the morning, grass seeds, chia seeds, almond milk, and so forth, in order to feel full. And you can make it taste really delicious if you select the fruit and so forth. And a lot of people are believing in using berries now, like the blueberries, strawberries, the raspberries, blackberries, and so forth, because that has less sugar. And people who have problems with diabetes, insulin resistance, need to avoid a lot of sugary sweet fruits, you know, like the mango. Like peaches. Peaches can be pretty sweet sometimes. And the banana can be very sweet sometimes for some people. If you're diabetic, that's that you only have like a half of a banana for certain. So I would recommend the green smoothie you can consume all day long, really. You can consume that all day if you want to. But you should also never use the same green. It's very good that you change up the green. If you use spinach, say, use something else. You know, you won't use spinach every day. You might use the broccoli. Incidentally, broccoli leaves are very healthy for you. The collard leaves, the mustard leaves. The green vegetables are the ones that have the protein. The green leafy vegetables are full of protein. So we want and we want a variety. So I rarely mix. I used to go to the store and buy that green mixture, all those different greens. I don't do that. In fact, it's based on the Green Food Revolution that was done by Victoria Pachinko.
Oh, Victoria Pachinko?
Yeah. Victoria Pachinko did a study in which she used same greens all the time. So something in the greens that would create some problems, and she recommended strongly that we would rotate the greens. You don't have to rotate it every day, but at least every week. If you're on a green smoothie regimen, then every week you're on a different green.
Yeah, I remember reading so that if you like kale or if you like spinach, don't do that, you know, every single day, 30 days out of the month or whatever. She says it is more beneficial to keep changing it up to all the really dark greens there are. Don't have the same ones every single day. But like you said, you can even do a week. You can do a week of spinach and then change the kale and then change the chard or something like that. But you don't want to do the exact same dark leafy green every single day.
That's right.
Right. So how do you feel about that for the question I asked before? If we're talking to somebody who had an aggressive cancer and went to the, you know, the American Medical Association first, and did chemotherapy and radiation, and hopefully got their body in a better place with the cancer, killed some of the cancer, because that can happen. But we all know that leaves the body in sad shape from all the poisons to kill the cancer. So how do we, because I've been getting a lot of phone calls about this, people who have done radiation and chemotherapy, and now they just cannot get themselves back. Do we have, and we know that we can't, those people need nourishment because already their body is fighting off the poisons from the chemo and the radiation. So they need nourishment. How do we help them, first of all, detox, but still build themselves up at the same time? The same way, or would there be a different protocol?
Well, look, it's the same protocol. Really, I would suggest that they really not avoid fruit if at all possible, because, see, you know, like
right.
cancer cells love the sugar. So I would
right.
suggest
the sugar, right.
really more. It's like the fruits that we call some vegetables fruits, you know, like the zucchini and
tomatoes,
like cucumber.
And zucchini, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have celery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of contacted me after chemotherapy and radiation, they would be nauseated all the time. And I told them to stop
right.
eating, start blending. And all of them said that was the answer, that was the solution to the problem. Now, I
mm-hmm.
tell people
mm-hmm.
who have chemotherapy and radiation that they really don't need to be eating too much cooked food, because there
mm-hmm.
are no signs in the cooked food. And people who are sick, well, we all need the enzymes, really, but people who are sick definitely
mm-hmm.
eat enzymes, and enzymes are in raw food.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, people who have cancer or people who are trying to rebuild their health, they've got to give up these sugars. They've got to give up sweets. They have to reduce the amount of carbs. They have to eat the good carbohydrates. They can't just be eating the pasta. The pasta, the only pasta they should have is that spaghetti, that spaghetti squash. You know, it makes them think they're eating pasta.
Right.
Pasta out of the,
mm-hmm.
the zucchini. We tell them to use that kind of a pasta instead of this, the carbs, the starchy pasta.
Hiawatha, what
mm-hmm.
do you think about the pastas that are available now that are made, they're organic, and they're made just from legumes, like black bean pasta or an edamame pasta or something like that? There's several companies now that sell organic, and they actually have a texture of pasta. It's amazing, because you don't taste black bean, you don't taste edamame. It tastes like a vegetable pasta, but it doesn't take, you know, I mean, they're wonderful. My sister and I have been getting them. There's also a quinoa and brown rice pasta, but it has a very, very soft taste. I don't like rice pasta because it tends to have an odd texture, but this quinoa and brown rice pasta, we're getting it at Aldi's. It's organic, and it has a pasta texture, but there's no wheat in it. It's wheat-free, so it's gluten-free. And what do you think about those type of pasta?
Well, here's what I'd like to. I would like to quote what Jack LaLanne said. If it's made by man, avoid it. See, I advocate avoiding man-made food. Eat really the food that you make yourself, and also where the people are serving the fresh foods. And, you know, another thing about food, it's the people who are, people put their energy into the food. So you
right.
want a real wholesome place where you know that you get some food where the people have some good energy. And try
mm-hmm.
to avoid, like some people advocate using, and I must admit that sometimes I do it myself, I will use the canned organic beans, like kidney beans, and like the navy beans and the lima beans in a can. Because, again, according to some research done by Joel Furman, she said that those beans are really okay. But I really prefer to really make own, cook my own beans instead of getting them out of a can.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, now, I cannot use some of that pasta that's made because according to my blood type, and I do eat according to the blood type also, according to my blood type, I can have tapioca. And a lot of those pastas, tapioca flour that they've used, or they have the sorghum flour that's been used. So, you know, people have to bless the food. So, just but if you insist on eating the pasta, keep on eating the pasta, but make sure you have a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables with
right.
it.
Well, that's why the pastas I was talking about are literally one ingredient. They're made either from black bean. I mean, I don't understand how they take a black bean and make it into that taste and texture, but that's the only ingredient. So there's either black bean or edamame or adzuki beans or red lentils. There's a company called I wish I could remember the name of it right now. But anyway, they sell it at Publix and Whole Foods, and they're extraordinary. They really taste like pasta, and they're very good. And that's it. So if you have a gluten issue and you haven't been able to eat pasta, try those because they're loaded with fiber, super high on fiber, like 30%, 42% per serving, loaded with protein. Like a single serving has like 8 grams of protein or something. And so you're getting your pasta kick, but you're not eating any wheat. So there's nothing to, because there's so many people that have wheat allergies. It's completely wheat free.
Well,
Monica, what do you think?
Well, I'm not a vegetarian, I'll tell you that. I'm more into, as far as cancer, any major illness, getting your body to ketosis, foregoing sugar, of course, and as far as fasting, 3 days of fasting, a water fast, to which salt, a little bit of baking soda, a little bit of potassium is added, there's a recipe for it, will turn your body around. It'll reset your body. It'll increase your immune system, but it takes 3 days for that to happen. I don't think I've ever heard about, you know, 1 day or a 2 day. 3 days is everything that I've heard about. And there's a group on Facebook. It's called the Snake Juice Diet.
Oh, my.
Cole Robinson. Yeah, it's not snake juice. It's water, baking soda, potassium. And the potassium is in that no salt salt. It's potassium chloride. And you add a small amount of each. There's a recipe for it. And this guy has been on TV. I've talked to him. He's been on radio shows. He's in out of Canada. And he's a little, he's very rough around the edges, but for losing weight, I mean, he has an accountability thing where you've got to strip down to your underwear and show pictures on Facebook in this group. And within a week, 2 weeks, people, I mean, the transformation their body is going through, and it's a lifestyle. And that, you know, for losing weight and getting your health back, and there's diabetes, people have diabetes, cancer, and they're curing their problems. It's, you know, so that's.
Do you have a YouTube? How would I get information off of YouTube?
Just go to Snake Juice Diet. He's got all of his videos up there, which talks about it. Huh?
What's the first word? Can you spell the first word?
Snake. S-N-A-K-E. Like a reptile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a name he came up with. But, yeah, and he's very rough around the edges. He'll say, he yells. He's like a drill sergeant, and he yells things like, "Hey, fatty." But he's all about diet, weight loss, but not a diet, just by doing this fasting. And he suggests, you know, going as long as you can, 72 hours, 96 hours, that kind of thing. And you can do it by doing this water, potassium, salt, baking soda. Your blood sugar will stay normalized. You won't feel faint. Yeah, it's working. It's crazy. But it's also, it's on Facebook. Yeah, the weight people are losing and maintaining because it's a lifestyle. You can't do this, lose your weight, and then go back to eating anything you want. That, you know,
you can't do that on any diet.
Exactly.
You can't do that on any diet.
It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So you got to fast for a few days a week, you know, and then eat normally. If you want to be a vegetarian, I guess you could, or a vegan. Well, vegan's not, okay, I won't say that. It's not healthy according to, you can maintain.
Well, veganism is a diet you can maintain. It is my opinion, based on my own research and how my own body is at 60, that veganism is the healthiest diet on the planet. I just came up with more research from medical doctors now that have been researching this worldwide, and there's more and more substantiation, literally on a weekly basis, that is proving that veganism is the healthiest way to live. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's studies about meat and this factor X and things like that. But a lot of the studies were not done properly. So over time, I think more and more people will go there. The bottom line is, as we, and I think Hiawatha will agree with this, as we evolve as a civilization, we have got to get away from violence. And killing animals for our sustenance is not necessary. It's a very dense energy, and we are not going to evolve as a spiritual species while we are still causing harm to other life forms, whether it's the planet, whether it's the mineral elemental energies on this planet, or whether it's animals. So from an energetic standpoint, at some point, we as humans have got to get away from eating animals. So veganism is extremely healthy. I mean, I've regenerated my body several times just because of my diet, and the more serious I become, the healthier I become. That's why my sister and I are embarking on going back to partial whole foodism. But I did want to clarify one thing about the fasting. When we were talking about fasting one day a week or 2 days a week, we're not talking about a detox. We're talking about a maintenance fast. One of the things is, once you get yourself to a healthy place, then it's healthy to fast 1 or 2 days a week. At Hippocrates, they would do it 1 day a week, and Hiawatha was saying 2 days is best. But in order to cleanse the body, you can do a 3-day fast or even longer. I mean, some people embark on it longer. But if you're very, very ill, one of the things Hiawatha was saying that I agree with is, it's not safe to do a water fast when you're very, very ill, because when you start detoxing, it puts too much stress on the heart, on the internal organs as you detox. So they call it a nutritional fast. And that's when you do either chlorophyll or wheatgrass juice or some green drinks, so that you're giving your body liquid nutrients, but you're still not taking in any solid food that the body has to digest. So it still goes through the detox process, and you can do that for many days in a row. But the 1 or 2 days a week was more of a maintenance fast, not a detox fast.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need their strength when they, you know, coming off of cancer protocol.
Mm-hmm. Well, at Hippocrates, when somebody
when somebody would be on a, you know, trying to follow the program and be suffering with, well, cancer is obviously the biggest one, although we had many other things for people to contend with. But when they were doing that, I would many, many times have to have sweet potato soup for them, or something, spinach cooked. I would have to have something for them, almond milk, some maybe some nuts, depending on what their deal was. But many times when somebody would be that sick, they simply could not do the regimen that was being asked for them to do at Hippocrates in the beginning. And so that meant lots of variances, but we always kept them within the program. As a matter of fact, when we rebuilt the new kitchen, we put in a special steamer just to be able to do some of those things and keep people's energy up so that they could still get the classes and get to their treatments and do all the things that they were there to do. But somebody who is that sick, I think, falls into a different genre. And to address what Shelley said about the unkindness to animals for slaughter, for fattening up, for all that, I think it's a travesty. But I have to say, and Shelley and I have had this conversation many times over the last 20 years, and that is the fact that until we learn how to treat each other better and with more kindness and more thoughtfulness, I don't see much hope for animals or anything else. I think we have to start with each other. So I agree with the horrible things that are done to animals to feed us. But again, I think that we have trouble dealing with each other and keeping each other in a good place. The world is very unkind for a lot of different reasons. So, but I like the fact that we're talking about doing fasting with certain things. And, of course, it was drilled into my head about fruit at Hippocrates. So when Hiawatha mentions things like bananas and things like that, I have, you know, a little thing goes up in my head because of all the years with Brian and Anna. And sugar, the only sugar we would break a fast with was melon. Never bananas, never things like that, although they were available once in a while for the guests that were there and not struggling with a really horrendous health issue. But melon, like a melon, cold melon smoothie is how we broke the fast on Thursday mornings. And
wasn't it watermelon?
And people...
wasn't it only
once
watermelon?
Once in a while
I don't
we would use watermelon, but no, cantaloupe, Shell. Cantaloupe.
Oh.
We would do, during season, watermelon season, we would do watermelon juice with the rind and everything as a treat. And that was a good diuretic and good for everybody. But Brian always believed the meat of the watermelon was too sugary and you needed to have the rind with it to have it have some real medicinal worth.
Yeah, I actually did for about a year. I was doing watermelon juices every morning with the rind and everything, and it. At that time, I had pretty severe hypoglycemia, and it never bothered me sugar wise. It actually gave me a lot of energy. Put a little bit of lemon juice in it, and that's how I would start every morning, was with this big glass of watermelon lemon juice, and it was very invigorating.
Well, it's an awesome diuretic, too. I mean, you know, if you're having trouble with that kind of thing, or if you are somebody who's trying to do both and take antibiotics and everything because the doctor told you to, but you realize that your body has taken a beating because of all that stuff that you're doing and you're trying to do both, I meet people like that every day, you know, that are trying, because they're trying to cover every base. When somebody says to you, you know, you're in trouble, You try to cover all your bases. You if something sounds like it might be good for you, no matter what it is, when you're in that life or death struggle, you know, you'll do anything. Let's face it. If somebody told me to hop on my left foot and turn circles and cartwheels and I would not have any more aches and pains, believe me, I'd be out there practicing. So that's a picture I can't get rid of now. But I think a lot of this has to do with your mindset. I do love the fact that somebody could do something like this once a for a week, every 3 months. People that are, like I'm 70 now, and in this cold that I've had has lasted me almost 3 weeks, and I know it's because my, my fighting army inside of me is struggling. So I'm good for doing a week when I get over this cold, doing something that's going to help build me up and get me in a better place. Again, I don't live the life of a vegan. Everybody knows that. I cook, and, last night there was homemade chili with cornbread, and, that's how we eat around here. But I still believe in this. I still believe in this, and I still get the worth of it. So when I don't feel good, those are the things that I do as well. And I'm a big thing with green drink. And but, yeah, Brian and Anna scared me about too much fruit, I'll be honest, because I'm aware of how much sugar is in fruit and who doesn't love fruit.
Right.
So, Hiawatha, you mentioned on the phone to me the other day something about doing a fasting program and never being hungry. And you mentioned a lot of things today. Could you share again which one of those ideas that you shared will help somebody from getting hungry and feeling weak when they're fasting?
Well, actually, make sure you blend everything, blending everything. Don't try to eat a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so you're saying
on intermittent fasting, see, you can eat solid foods. But I'm saying when you're fasting, make sure you don't eat any solid foods. Everything should be blended.
Okay.
Liquid or blended.
Well, Ann Wigmore designed the green soup, right? The energy soup. Everybody calls it something different, and that's pretty much what that is. That's like with all kinds of good stuff in it. Can you remember the complete recipe for Ann's green soup? I know that it's greens. What else is in it?
Yeah, we call it the energy soup, but actually, it was nothing except for green smoothie. Except she didn't believe in using all that fruit. She would limit herself to one or two apples, and she also kicked in using the watermelon in place of the apple, and she would use a fruit, at least 2 to 3 cups of vegetables, among which would be sprouts. So in addition to a green vegetables, she would also use some sprouts. And she would always use the avocado because she thought there should be a little fat in it. And that the amount of avocado you would use would be determined by whether you want to. Like a person who didn't have a problem with weight could use a whole avocado. But another person who's struggling with weight used maybe 1/4 of an avocado. So the avocado was there to make the smooth texture and seem to hold it all together.
Okay, so I have a question for all three of you, and I'd like each one of you to talk one at a time and think about it for a few minutes. I have people calling me, one person that I care very much about. I talk about him a lot, my friend Adam. He is struggling a lot with fibromyalgia. And he tries to stay vegan, but I know that he strays every now and then. He has a family. He lives alone now because his wife has passed away. But he does try to do green drink. He tries to do wheatgrass. And he keeps himself in a fairly good place. But his fibromyalgia from birth defects and from being diagnosed with fibromyalgia, I'm not sure if that's all that's wrong with my little friend. But he struggles a lot with the pain. So I promised him that I would talk to all of you and see if you had a good smoothie something that he could do several times a week that would help him with some of the pain. I'm thinking he doesn't have a weight problem. He gets too thin. So I'm thinking some of the things that we've just talked about could help, I don't know, lubricate maybe his joints and his body. He gets very stiff. He lays in a tub of hot water to alleviate some of the pain. So who would like to go first and give me some suggestions? I'm going to write them down and call him today with any ideas we have for a smoothie, because that will give him something to do, which is good for him, and maybe help him with some of the pain. Any ideas?
Yes, I do. This is Hiawatha. One of the things that I would suggest is that he add ginger to all of his smoothies. If he's doing it,
okay.
And he would add 1 inch of ginger. And he would, I would keep getting the skin, I believe in getting the skin off of the ginger. Chop. He should add he could add like a teaspoon of turmeric, or he could add the fresh turmeric.
Okay.
And in his situation, he should always, since he doesn't have a weight problem, he should always use the avocado.
Okay.
Because avocado is healthy fat, and he should always have some type of sea vegetation in his smoothie.
You mean like adults or which one, honey?
Dr. Ann recommended the adults.
Okay.
She recommended adults more than anything else, but he could also add the kelp.
Okay.
And
that doesn't sound bad. Ginger, turmeric, avocado, and dulse. And what about any other kinds of greens to make him, you know, to give it a little bit more substance?
Well, like any kind of green that he likes. Does he like the kale? Now, kale is supposed to be very good. You know, it's supposed to be a healthy food. I think it's the healthiest of all the greens. This is what everybody's saying. But I like the collard greens. I like any kind of green. You know, I even put the Swiss chard. I like Swiss chard. I even use the carrot green. And you know, the tops that people throw away?
Right,
I go to the market, I go to and get all of their greens, their carrot tops. You know, they usually get those away free because they have a basket there for people to, you know, put the greens in. Now, those carrot tops are very nutritious. And if there's any place where he can get some wild greens, you know, like the purslane and the lamb's quarters, even the dandelion, it's bitter, but it's very healthy.
Well, and so. What would we put in this to make it a little bit tastier? Now, again, we've got turmeric. Avocado would probably make it tastier. The dulse would make it a little bit salty. How do you feel about sprouts? If he's got a place where he can order sprouts, sunflower sprouts or any kind of sprouts.
Really?
I love sunflower sprouts.
Sunflower sprouts would be wonderful. But in addition to the sprouts, he should also add another green.
Well, I put the carrot tops, and I put Swiss chard and kale.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm gonna write this all out and email it to him so that he's got it down pat. And like I said, it will give him a chore, and it will also be good for him.
Yeah, the ginger and turmeric especially is good for inflammation.
Right. Okay, girls, Monica, Shelley, you have anything you think should be added to this juice or any other input on something to bring him some more comfort?
As far as fibromyalgia, the biggest thing about that is he's magnesium deficient, and he needs a lot of magnesium oil. Epsom salts baths. If he likes to get into a bathtub, he's got to add Epsom salts to it.
Okay.
And then magnesium glycinate would really help him, because that'll loosen up his muscles, relax them. And for joints, MSM, Opti MSM.
Right.
Which is sulfur. And that would also help.
Okay.
Now, my mom
had
an accident about 2 years ago, and the chiropractor had told us to have her do Epsom salts baths. So I'm glad that Monica brought that up, because I completely forgot about it. And we got an Epsom salts here that actually had lavender extract in it. So the combination of the Epsom salts with the lavender was very calming to my mom. She would be very, it would be emotionally calming as much as physically calming. So he might want to see if he can find these. I think they sold them at Whole Foods, but I think you can get them anywhere. But he might want to see if he can get that, because he tends to be very emotional. The lavender might be a nice additive there to give him more, not just physical comfort, but also giving him a little bit of emotional calm as well.
They sell it at Walmart.
I
want to
say he does that, Cheryl.
Really?
He does that.
Okay.
They sell what at Walmart?
The lavender Epsom salts.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. They do. Yep. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to give him all this information, and I will keep you all posted. He's 50 now, and Shelley knows his story, and I believe Monica probably does too, Hiawatha. But he came to Michigan to stay with us when I was up there. He was his eyes were burnt in an incubator after his birth. So he's been sightless since birth, but he's a rugged little guy, and he was a health educator. He drives a moped, motor scooter. He does all kinds of things. He's traveled all over the world all by himself. He's kind of an amazing little guy, but now he's got this pain, and sometimes he calls me and he's really upset. And I just talk him down a little bit, but I've been, of course, some of this stuff I've already mentioned it to him, but I'm going to give him a job to do, and that'll give him purpose, and hopefully I can report back to all of you that he's doing much better. I care about him a lot. He's a very, taught me a lot about what's important and what isn't important. You know, how much focus we put on what we all look like. And him and his wife used to whisper in my ear and ask me what the other one looked like. And they loved each other more than any couple I've ever met in my life. And it really hit home for me, because at the end of the day, that really doesn't matter, does it?
Right.
So summing up today, we're talking about somebody who's relatively healthy, who wants to do one day a week fast, very, very doable. Smoothies, things like that. If you're really healthy, you can add fruit to them. I think that doing all the greens that Hiawatha mentioned is really, really important. I learned that at Hippocrates, and again, that was another thing that was drilled into me. I think that a lot of the stuff that we talked about today, everybody could do one time a week, and even if you think you can't do it one time a week, start out by trying it one time a month and see if that brings you to a better place. Baby steps always are easier, and you still get there eventually. So anybody else have anything to add? We're down to like 5 minutes. Girls, you want to say anything else about today's show?
One other quick thing, and I think Hiawatha will agree with this because it also comes from the Bochinko family's research, is that one of the benefits of doing green smoothies is that you can drink more green leafy vegetables than you can sit there and chew.
You can also add other things to make it more flavorful. But the other benefit is that it increases the hydrochloric acid level of the in the stomach. Most people have a abnormally low HCI level in their stomach, and that's why they're not pre-digesting their food properly. And that's one of the ways to correct that.
Okay. Well, that's good input. Anybody else?
I would like to make sure that people understand that we do need, in addition to bathing in magnesium, we need to be taking magnesium. Most people need magnesium, extra magnesium, on a daily basis.
Yes, yes. Well, we stress that quite a bit, so Monica didn't talk too much about it today, but we stress that quite a bit. Monica's capsules have helped me more than I can even put into words because, you know, carrying all the weight I've carried all my life and being 70 years old and still thinking I'm 50 takes a toll on me. So I was getting pretty achy and pretty sore, and I swim every day and I walk every day. But the magnesium helps me a lot. And she also makes a Maggie magnesium, which is a spray that I use for deodorant. And if I'm sore anywhere before I go to bed at night, I spray that wherever I have a pain or wherever is, like, for a reason I don't understand, achy, I spray that on me. So I believe in all of those things and use them religiously. But I think that, you know, what goes inside counts for a lot, too, and that I'm not real good at. So I have to work with what I can do. So right. Thank you, ladies.
Hey, Monica,
anything, Shel?
Wait a minute. I just want to ask Mona to clarify which is the best supplemental form of magnesium, because there's several out there, and I know some aren't bioavailable to the body. Which is the best type of oral magnesium to take?
Magnesium glycinate. That's the capsules that I make. Because it's magnesium chloride. No, not chloride. I can't remember now. But it's magnesium with the molecule of glycine, which is it covers it so that your hydrochloric acid doesn't eat it up. It goes into your intestine, and it's better utilized by the body. And that's an all-over body capsule, supplement. There's also, if you're constipated, magnesium citrate is the best. And if you've got Alzheimer's, anything like that, magnesium threonate. I don't make that. It's very expensive. But there you go.
All right. Awesome.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, girls. Thank you, Hiawatha, for checking in with us.
You're
welcome to call the show whenever you've got something to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Thank you, girl.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
you, everyone. Love you, and God bless.
Bye-bye, Shel. Bye, Monica. Bye, Hiawatha.
Bye.
We'll be back on Friday, folks. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in the world. I just heard another report, and Shelley has a show that she would like to do. So I hope you'll join us on Friday at 8 a.m. And there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world that is, kind of out there. I just got another report that six-figure income families are actually claiming some kind of poverty to get their kids student loans. And I don't know how they're doing it. I know where there's a will, there's a way, right? And it's always the people who don't need it that figure out how to do it. That's why they got it, I guess. So, but I found that to be kind of deploring, especially since I have three members in my family who went back to school to better their lives, and they will never get out from under. Their credit will never be good again, because they will never get out from under all the student loans. So God bless everybody. We'll be back on Friday. Thanks very much. Have a safe day. Thanks, honey. Bye-bye, folks.
Bye-bye. God bless.